It's a good day. We all feel like a drip today. Good day to take a walk in the rain if you enjoy that. And I guess you will take a walk in the rain whether you enjoy it or not when you leave. Might as well enjoy it. All right, the book of Ephesians is where we've been working in chapter 3, and there's actually one verse we've been working on, and being a little slow in my work sometimes, we are continuing here, Ephesians 3, verse 11 through 13. Now, I don't think I need to encourage in this realm as you're looking for Ephesians 3, verse 12. Jerome, you got your next sermon about ready? Because did he do a Sunday night or a Wednesday night? He did preach, right? So, you know, close by you're going to be, weekends off. So, you know, I'm glad to give up a Sunday. Or Mr. Binkley will too. Knowing him in a few weeks, he'll be getting hurt again, and he'll need someone to fill in. I was going to send him a note this morning because he's away because it's archery hunting. I was going to send him a note this morning and say, beautiful day for archers to be out hunting. But I don't think he hunts Sundays. But yeah, Jerome, get your sermons together, and the men here, I know, will be delighted to kick me out and fill you in on any given Sunday. Ephesians 3, 11, 12, and 13, so we're kind of working in on, where Paul says, according to the eternal purpose which he, God, of course, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, so the whole phrase goes together, in whom we have, and we spent a Sunday morning thinking on the we haves of the scriptures, a few of them we looked at, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And because of that, he says, I do not lose heart with regard to what was going on in his life and what, so we wouldn't with what's going on in our lives. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have, by speaking of those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of those who stand before the throne of the Lord, because we sung even this morning hour in some of our songs, we have boldness. And so the we is, as some good Pennsylvania folks would say, us-ins. The we is you, that is the church, the people. And these are three very important words, and we've kind of gotten started in that first one of boldness. And often we think of boldness with regard to that of an individual or a group standing up and out for something, and that's certainly part of the definition with regard to boldness we have in Christ. And so thinking on that, last week we spoke a little bit about our speech, our speaking up. Our speaking with regard to others, boldness. And this morning, our a little bit with regard to our boldness before the throne of grace. And again, it's because of and through and by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, not indeed with us. Remember, boldness, and you can look it up in any dictionary. Probably many of you got your little hand dictionary called a phone there someplace. But you know, it's a willingness to speak up. A willingness to take a risk. It speaks, the word boldness speaks of acting innovatively. That is some creative thinking with regard to ministries. We need creative thinking with regard to our outreach and calling and going, you know, with the things of the scriptures. Sometimes the folks will say the day of going door to door to talk about Christ has come and gone. I'm not sure of that. But we do need some creative thoughts and ideas, ministry with regard to to step forth with the giving out of the things of the Word of God. Speaks of courage, boldness speaks of a vividness. It's, you know, we used the illustration last week. Someone said, that's a vivid color. I was going to use Jay's shirt today as an illustration of that. Pretty vivid. Jay, blue, what did he leave already? Stands out, you know. And that's the idea of boldness, something that stands out a bit. It is not sort of an audacity or speaking rudely or interrupting and speaking someone else in that way. But it does have to do with the words that we brought here, some bravery and daring, determination, fearlessness, and on many words could go. Well, I understand at one time some parents named their two boys Pete and Repeat. So today is kind of a partial repeat of some things of last week to kind of bring it in together for us. And we know in the New Testament, the word bold is used about 30 times. And about a third of those times, probably a few more, it speaks of an outspokenness. Paul was outspoken. Moses was outspoken. We can think of many others down through the scriptures. A frankness of speech. That is, there was no question what they were saying. People knew what they were referring to. There was an openness. They weren't hiding and trying to do some slippery things with their words, saying one thing, meaning something else, and so on. But an openness in the public with regard to the messages that they had and as they gave forth the scriptures. And I think myself, one of the most characteristic words in the book of Acts, the history of the church, that first gathering ever of the churches, the local church, as they praised God, the first thing they did as they gathered together, and it's a pattern for us, that which they did was to ask God for boldness. Acts chapter 3, we noted last week in verse 29. They asked God for boldness to what? Speak against the government? No. They asked God for boldness on the way to work to push their way through. No, that was what. They asked the God for boldness to do what? Speak the word of God. They knew they needed to speak up and speak out. And so they went to the source, the throne of grace, which we've read about this morning and will a little more, to go with boldness because we're told to come boldly before God. And so they asked for boldness to do what? Boldness to speak the word of God. Again, not a haughtiness and not a I told you so and not a rude, crude type of way, but when the opportunity is there, and sometimes we have to make an opportunity to ask God for boldness. Acts 3 and verse 29 is where that was. So the the huge question of the day is, you on Wednesday night when the church met for a prayer meeting or other times during the week, did you ask God for the desire, the ability, the want to, the backbone to speak his word? Did you pray for that? Great prayer request. We need to pray that way. We have to admit we don't have the backbone, the courage, the strength we need to speak up for Christ and to minister the word of God and encourage folks to come and worship the Lord. Perhaps we don't pray such because we're afraid to pray boldly, because perhaps we're afraid the Lord will give us boldness and then we'll have to be bold. Maybe that's the case. Boldness is a compound word, boldness. So it means bold every word. So it's kind of saying the whole mindset. Our minds are set upon Christ, as we were looking at a little bit of Paul's arguments out of the Old Testament scriptures as he wrote the book of Romans. You know, he had every word. He dug into the word. He brought portions out of every part of the word of God, and to set forth bluntly, publicly, in his writing of the things of speaking up for, being bold for the Lord. Time to be bold. Now we're reminded there in Acts 3:29 when they prayed for boldness. We're reminded when you come to verse 31, Acts 3:31, God gave them what they prayed for. Is that a surprising thing? No, God gave them what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness to speak the word. And what did it tell us? We looked at it last week. Remember, this is repeat day. God gave them what they prayed for, and then what else happened? Verse 31. What then? God gave them the boldness. Remember, they prayed for boldness to speak the word. So God gave them the boldness to speak the word, and then what? They forgot about it. What did they do? They did it. Yeah, they did what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness. God gave them boldness to speak the word. They spoke the word boldly. Verse 31. They did that. They gave out the word. My wife and I were at that place called the Green Dragon. The life experience, right? To be there. And Friday, I make sawdust, and out of the sawdust came these snowmen that I made. And so we were there, and I always like to be there, wherever. Lots of folks to meet and talk to and have fun with. And anyway, selling a few things, making big bucks. One man came by, in my mind, as I looked at him, a person that just wouldn't appear to be the one that would do such. Anyway, he was buying something, cost $2 or $3, and he stuck his hand in his wallet. And the first thing he brought out was this $1 million bill. And he says, "Oh, yeah, maybe you shouldn't try to cash it, but it's something valuable." Now, I hadn't seen one of these in a long time. Anyone ever seen them? In God We Trust, it's a track. You know, just size of a bill. Probably cost much as a bill, but you know, here's a $1 million question, and it goes into and talks about Christ and salvation and sinners and so on. And so he gave that, and he paid the rest of it. And so, you know, that don't happen very often. Did you ever notice and think about how few times you come across someone who's witnessing to you? It is slim. It happens. It just don't happen that someone else comes along and the boldness to speak to you in a very simple way. I mean, it's just nice. He lays that down first. And it's just his, I call it a simple way, but it's bold to witness. He paid the rest of it, don't worry. And so I thanked him for it and thanked him for doing the witnessing job. And it's been a long time since I'd seen one of the tracks like this. But you know what he had? He had a plan. He had it in his wallet with the money, and he pulled that one out. That was his first one. And when they first pull it out, if you aren't looking close, it just looks like, oh, yeah. Because it's even got one of those blue lines that they put across $100 bills to prove it's real. You know? So he was ready. And that's my question, are we ready, you know? If we pray for boldness, God, give me something to say. I got something to say about Christ, boldness to say what I should say. I pray for that. And then God gives us that boldness. We just step into it and do what we said we prayed about doing. and to give out the scriptures. That takes a plan. That takes being ready and being prepared. And that's what we have here before us. So salvation, and according to Ephesians, gives us a boldness to speak and to present, prove the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that faith in Him to do that. We have the very same Savior that is recorded about in the Gospels, in which the book of Ephesians talks about here, in whom we have, in Christ we have something. We have boldness, and the rest of it there today. We have boldness to speak and give out the things of the Word of God and rejoice in the very same Savior. And we also, continuing to repeat a little bit, remember in Philippians in chapter 1 in verse 14, where we were talking about Paul was in jail, and many folks were a little fearful to give out the Word of God until they had seen Paul doing it consistently, constantly. Remember that verse? Philippians 1:14. If you didn't see it, now's a good time to look at it. Philippians chapter 1, down at verse 14. Paul's in jail. God had him in jail, I believe, to keep him in confinement so he would have the time to write down the things that we call the prison epistles here, a good section of the Bible. Remember what he says in 1:14, he's in jail. He says, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident. In other words, they weren't confident at the first. They didn't have a confidence with regard to things of Paul and the scriptures and the ministry. Now he says, after they had been watching him give out the word and preach, which is in the first couple of verses before this, says they are much more, now they are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. And our encouragement last week as we gathered was that you can be one of those individuals that as you boldly and clearly and consistently proclaim the things of Christ, you encourage another one to do that. Someone else sees you do it, hears you doing it, and you will be an encouragement to another to step up and to be doing that and no longer afraid. We're sometimes afraid to admit that we're afraid to present the things of Christ. And many times we are. We're not as bold as we know we should be, could be, ought to be with regard to the things of the Scriptures. So encourage another and set forth in boldness. Remember Philippians 1:20? I think we just read it briefly last week. Philippians 1:20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness. But with all boldness, as always, so now. Also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was not in the most wonderful place that there could be to be presenting Christ and being magnified by Christ in a very unlike. Though Jerome was in prison, it wasn't like a Roman prison. I mean, it wasn't literally just a hole in the ground and four walls around it that he had. And here he says, I want Christ to be magnified. We know in Rome he had a few better places sometimes to preach the word and give out the word, even in the palace. But I think we have to buy up the opportunity of where we're at, regardless of what's going on with regard to it. I want to think a little bit about the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to being who he was and what was going on in his flesh on this earth. You know, the Lord Jesus told his disciples several times, several occasions, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be put in jail. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be crucified. Many times he told them that, over and over. And then the word had gone out there in John. It writes about how the powerful religious ones of the day sent the word out that if anyone sees him, they're to let them know. And if anyone hid Christ and so on, they would be the ones that would be punished as well. And Christ knowing what they had established and knowing what was before him as he went to Jerusalem, yet he goes. I wonder, you know, if we knew what was going to happen as it did to Christ, would we have the boldness to go? Be right in the middle of where the time was we were going to be arrested. And the purpose was a mock trial and the death that was before him. He knew, yet he goes to Jerusalem openly. It's kind of like, here I am to those looking for him. Here I am, arrest me. Then he's alone, you know, in the garden and praying. So boldly he prays, not my will, but yours. Great prayer for us every single day. I'm not very good at it because I like my own way and my own will. How about you? He prayed, your will. He boldly knew what was before him. And with that, he steps forward. I also think right in the middle of it sometimes, and I have trouble getting my mind around this, but right in the middle of it, right in the middle of saying, I'm on my way, I'm going to die, and so on, you get some of his disciples arguing about who's going to have the bigger place in glory next to him. Isn't that interesting? They're fighting about who's gonna sit on the right hand, the left hand of Christ in the kingdom, in glory. And all the while, he's on his way to the place of death. Death was just as hard on Christ as ever has been upon anyone. Bold he was. And a grand and glorious illustration in life for us, day by day. Well, the word for bold that we're using today, primarily in the book of Hebrews, is the same word meaning the same thing when we come to the throne of boldness or the throne of grace. The same word that is being put out here to speak the word of God boldly is the same word that's used as we speak to people, is the same word as we speak to the Lord to speak boldly. Come boldly into the throne of grace. Now, there's three verses on this, three texts. One we've mentioned already, Ephesians 3:12. And so I'm going to take you to the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. If you would please, Hebrews 10 down at verse 19. So find your way there, Hebrews 10, verse 19. We know he's talking to believers anyway, but it's just brought out in the text, Hebrews 10 and 19. Therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness. Some use the word confidence here, a straightforwardness, a stepping into the situation, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, entering into the place of prayer before the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Now, we have to kind of pause a minute because our minds get rolling around a little bit. And we're thinking, now, where have I read that before? You know, where have I kind of seen that similar? You know, where was it? Well, you know, it's Hebrews chapter 4, right? Hebrews chapter 4, and I direct your attention there. Hebrews 4, and down in verse 14, after talking about the Word of God, the double-edged sword, and so on, he says this in chapter 4 of Hebrews in verse 14. 4:14. Seeing then that, oh, what's the phrase? We have, there it is. Seeing then that we have a great, or the greatest, or there could be none greater, high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know, we do not have, verse 15, he says, we don't have a high priest who cannot or is not touched, sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we can never say, well, the Lord don't know what's gone on, going on, and so on. Yes, he does. So he says in verse 16, let us therefore come, what? Boldly. Yeah. Remember all the definitions, the words, the thoughts we've used with regard to boldness. Enter the throne of grace. That we may obtain something. Mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want to keep our attention there in verse 16 in our waning moments here this morning. Well, just great encouraging words. Wonderful words to grasp a hold of. Let us, let each one who professes to be a believer, let's do this. You know, come boldly, enter boldly to the throne of grace. Notice the location. And notice what can be obtained. Very warm and precious words. Just a tremendous encouragement here. Come. You need to just pause. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pause and you read the verse to yourself quietly. And one of those, let it sink in or be a review. Just go ahead. You just read it there. Verse 16. You know, sometimes we're just sort of zipping along, reading, and we don't pause and think about all that's there. Good to ponder. You know, he says, come. You know, therefore, let us come. Let's approach. Don't hold back. Speak up. What do we need to take before the throne of grace? Come near, come near. Full assurance, full of faith. Come near. Full assurance and full of faith is how we approach the throne of God. A broken and contrite spirit, according to Psalm 51:17, is how we come always in the presence of God. We indeed who are weak, we are, but we have the great high priest. Bold we come because of who Christ is, not because of who we are and thinking we are somebody or have something, but of him. The invitation is to come boldly, confidently, courageously. Speak up. What's on the heart, the mind, the soul? God can handle it. It's not rashly or fearfully, but it is freely and openly. And it's the matter is to bring out to you and I that, speak from a heart or soul to mind. To him who is the great high priest, the King of kings, and indeed, we know, Lord of lords. It's kind of interesting sometimes when we come before people to speak with them. We have even more respect for them than we do before the King of kings, before the Lord. A boldness. Who he is, remembering who he is. You're going to find something there. Remember what the verse says? You're going to find something. The throne of grace. Going to find help. Need help. Help in the time of need. Help. I need boldness to give forth the things of the truth of the Word of God. And I need a boldness at the throne of grace to ask for that boldness, to give it out and speak it and set it forth, the Word of God. You know, it's often just a real fun thing to give out the Scriptures. I often like to look how people respond when you begin sharing the gospel with them. Sometimes they look around and say, who's listening? Anyone else see this going on? That's always fun. And sometimes they're looking for a way out. They're kind of feeling, like they're trapped or something. So while the Scriptures, the things of God, we present them in a serious way, but remember, it's the most joyful message that could ever be given out. And so for you giving it forth, it's just a precious thing to do that. You're doing what God has said to do and doing it boldly. Speaking up for him, about him, being directed with him. So you've always got your Gospel of John ready, right? Say, yeah, I got Gospels of John. But got to have them ready and be available and have them to give out. My wife and I just mentioned we're at the Green Dragon, and the day was kind of ending, and we talked to our neighbor vendor a couple of times, actually bought something off him. And so he was just beginning to put things together. And so I was all packed up and ready to leave, and I went over and I said, appreciate the bargains. Yes, he told us he gave us bargains. And I said, I'd like to leave something with you that's very important to us. Something I think, I said, I can see you're a hard-working man, and he was, and enjoyed what he was doing. And I said, here's something that I'm not trying to sell it. I have something I'd like to give you and encourage you to watch this. It was actually called The Last Adam. It's a DVD put out by Answers in Genesis. Quite well done. And I gave him my name. And I just said, you know, there are a lot of important things in life, and I appreciate you working hard. And here's something that could really be life beyond life for you. And I'd ask you to take time to read it. To listen to it. And it was one of those almost looking around type things. Yeah, I'll take it. I want to see what this guy's doing here, which is fun. It's fun to do that. We also have a box when we're selling a few things. We have a box there that says free on it. Right, that gets everyone to stop and look. The box, and until they look and they see what I see, some of them pick it up, look at them, and throw them back in the box. You know that. You know, that won't hinder the Word of God at all. It won't hurt. It isn't something, I shouldn't put it out. People don't like it. No, we need to be those that have a wee bit of boldness. Ask God for boldness. There's help in the time of need. We go to prayer. We pray boldly, Lord, make me to be one alert and ready to give out your word and to set it forth. When we're afraid, you know, we have Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. We have help from the Lord. It says, with regard to Christ, when that he himself suffered being tempted, he, that one, is able to aid those or succor those who are tempted. He's able to give us that courage and strength we need when we're tempted not to speak up for him. Well, the other verse is in 1 John 4 that speaks of boldness, and I'm not going to turn there because I'd preach another message, so we'll see if we have Pete repeat and repeat next week. We'll find out where we're at. But got to package it up a little bit this morning. We've all been fearful at times to speak the word, whether it's to an individual or a group, or yes, sometimes many times in prayer to really bring out really what is there on heart and mind and soul. We've all missed some golden opportunities, as they might be called, to speak to someone. I know I have, and kicked myself later for not having said something, given out something to an individual. But we could do the same before the throne of grace. Didn't say what really was on the heart, mind, soul, and a boldness to God through Christ. The nice thing is, though, by God's great graciousness and kindness, he sometimes gives us another opportunity to speak to someone we missed the first time or to someone new of the gospel. And he always says the throne of grace is open. We can always come again, constantly in prayer, boldly speaking of him. Perhaps some have just plain quit giving out the gospel. I encourage you to renew your desires with regard to that and pray for boldness and be prepared to give out the word. Look for opportunities and realize that you, believer, can be the one who encourages another or other believers to be strong for Christ and to speak up and to give forth the word of God to him. I think I've seen that many times, maybe at a restaurant. I see someone maybe sharing the gospel, giving out a tract to others that are there, and it encourages someone else to do that as well the next time they are there with the things of the Word of God. You know, the song said, and I read it maybe a couple of weeks ago or whatever, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. It's always nice to go back to the throne of grace and pray again. It's always nice to be prepared to give out the gospel. Our Father, bless your word as only you can by your Holy Spirit into our lives. Place a deeper, greater, stronger desire, boldness to give out your word. And at the throne of grace, might we just have a great desire to speak freely, openly, clearly, to bring what is upon our hearts and minds, Father, not thinking in some way we're going to shock you or offend you or do something like that, but Father, you can handle it. Thank you, Father, for the place of help in a world that only offers temporary help Thank you for eternal help moment by moment, and we'll praise you for it as we go forth this day, depending on you. Use us for your name's sake, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.